So let's dive into the text for today. We're looking at the Gospel of John this time around, and we're going to be looking at the portion of John where Jesus enters Jerusalem on the Palm Sunday, like we've referenced a lot already. So the actual text is chapter 12, verses 12 through 15. Gonna not do the entire text of Jesus's triumphant entry, but we're gonna just do a snippet of it to really be able to hone in on a couple of different things. So if you would, stand for the reading of God's word, and I am going to, you know what? I'm gonna stand with you this time, even though you're not gonna be able to see me that well. Here we go. All right, apparently you can see me. So here we go. John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 12 says this. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." This is the word of God. Thanks be to him. Let's pray. Father, I ask and pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. Lord God, we ask it and pray it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. Thanks for standing if you did. Let's sit back down now and see how quickly Dan can get the camera back in the right place. Well, he's good at this. It's like you're a professional or something, Dan. So, I have a confession to make, a Palm Sunday confession. Don't freak out. It's not heavy. But it is a little embarrassing, and it's this. I totally didn't realize Palm Sunday was coming up as quickly as it was this week. So I had convinced myself that we still had another week to go before we hit Palm Sunday and Easter. And it wasn't until Monday when Brian and Kelly and I were all discussing, as we do on Mondays, we kind of try to get our ducks in a row and get our plans set for the week and the coming Sunday. And that's when they helped me realize that, oh my goodness, Palm Sunday is this week. I was not expecting that. Now, part of this was because I'm a doofus that apparently does not know how to read a calendar, but a bigger part of it is something that I'm hoping that you can sympathize with a little bit, and that is with all these coronavirus precautions, like, I am upside down when it comes to my routines, my regular rhythms, my schedule, the calendar. It is totally out of whack. And I know that you guys are, a lot of y'all are in the same boat. Just this past week, somebody asked me, what day is it? Which normally when I hear that, I'm thinking they're wondering what calendar date it is. So I said, like, April 2nd. And they're like, no. Like, what day of the week is it? Is it Tuesday or is it Friday? This is kind of where we all are. I don't know if it's just the habit of us, you know, working from home in our pajamas or having to postpone plans or whatnot. Like, most of us don't even know what day of the week it is. And it's the same thing at the church. We've been furiously trying to adapt and be creative and figure out ways to carry on the ministry of the gospel, even doing it from a distance. And that has been very disorienting. And it's also been so consuming of our attention. And yet all along, Palm Sunday and Easter have been sneaking up on us until finally I sit down in our Monday meeting and say, oh my gosh, this is it. This is the week. Now, I'm telling you this not just to make me look dumb, although that is part of it. I'm telling you this because there's something of a comfort in it. I know that might sound weird, but here's what I mean. Everything around us right now is on pause. Plans have been postponed. The world seems to have just stopped. But Palm Sunday isn't on pause. Easter isn't paused. No, these events of the church calendar, The church calendar being this yearly cycle where we commemorate these profound moments in the life of Jesus, those things march on in the same way they have for over 2,000 years now. And even though the chaos of coronavirus has put everything on hold around me, the celebration of Jesus entering Jerusalem as the King of Kings, it comes right on schedule. It ain't postponed. Now, listen to me. More often than not, we do not appreciate that comfort of the church calendar because we're Americans. We are people that really love things that are new and fresh and exciting and innovative and different. And in normal time periods, kind of the repetitive nature of the church calendar is something that, I don't know, it might feel a little bit stale to us. Talking about Advent and Lent and Epiphany and Easter and Pentecost and talking about the same things year after year at the same time, that might feel a little stale. But then something like this comes along, and all of a sudden it doesn't feel stale anymore. It feels comforting, to use that word that I said before. There's a great comfort in knowing that even though everything else is in chaos, Palm Sunday arrives right on schedule. There's a comfort in knowing that even though I'm totally in a tailspin and don't know what's going on calendar-wise, Palm Sunday arrives right on schedule. And it points our eyes to these important pieces. It points our eyes to the kingship of Jesus, even though we might be in a tailspin. It points our eyes to the moment when people, like Brian's quote that he read, they laid their coats down on the road, they're waving palm branches, they are crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. It points our eyes at that moment and makes us remember. And by the way, that's what's significant about the calendar date of Palm Sunday arriving on schedule year after year after year. It's not that the calendar date in itself is important, it's that the events that that date points to are important. And what it points to is when we saw with great authority Jesus Christ be revealed as the King of Israel and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that event that we commemorate every year, it can't be postponed. It isn't postponed. There's a word for this that actually is the word that I chose for the title of this sermon. The title is Reliable Hosannas. And it's that word reliable that really is a description of what's going on here. When you have a friend who's reliable, what does that mean? Well, it means that that friend does what they say they're going to do. They follow through. They show up on time. They keep their promises and they keep their word, even though it might be really hard to do that. That's what a reliable friend is. And what I'm trying to say is that Palm Sunday, or any other calendar date, Easter, Pentecost, Christmas, you name it, they are reliable in that way. They do not get paused or canceled or put on hold. Coronavirus can't make them pause or be canceled or put on hold. And here's the reason why. Because those things are representing events that really happened. Jesus Christ really did enter into Jerusalem and was received as the King. That happened. That cannot be canceled. And you know what? Jesus Christ truly is, even now, acknowledged to be King of Kings. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. All things have been put under his authority. He has been given the name that is above every name. That is real. That can't be canceled by coronavirus. And so Palm Sunday and what it represents is reliable year after year in that way. And it marches on. That's what I mean, that there's something comforting in the fact that it showed up, even for some of us, me, unexpectedly. So what I want to do in today's sermon is kind of look at Palm Sunday from two different angles or perspectives. One is kind of like the big bird's eye view, sort of meta perspective. And that actually is what my observations on the calendar being reliable, that's what that was meant to be there, kind of the bird's eye view. Which, hey, by the way, that's good news, right? You thought that was all just the introduction? It actually was my first point. So we're halfway through the sermon already. You're welcome. So reliable, the reliability of Palm Sunday, that's kind of the bird's eye overview. But now what I want to do kind of for the second point and the way we're going to close this out is zoom in the camera a little bit and get closer to the people on the ground here that are celebrating Palm Sunday, to look at what they're doing and what they're saying and get a little bit more of the nitty-gritty detailed view. And I want to focus in particular on the word that sticks out the most in this account. What do we mean when we say it? So let's take a look back at the text. We don't have to look very far for the word Hosanna, okay? It comes up right out of the gate in verse 13. Verse 13, just to remind you, says this. They took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Now, just so you know, this right here is why we are able with confidence to say that Jesus is being welcomed as a king. You know, sometimes we say that and we just kind of take it for granted that this is what all of Palm Sunday meant. But it's because of this particular sort of episode that we say this is a kingly welcome. Okay, so yeah, it explicitly says even the King of Israel. So we got that going for us. But then also there was the palm branches that the people were waving. And I preached on this years ago. There's probably maybe only, well, probably none of y'all remember it. I hardly even remember it, but I remember going deep in the significance of the palm branches and what was going on there. And I remember realizing in that moment, I was hardly even scratching the surface of that because that symbol is so deep and rich. It has a long history and a history that's kind of evolved over time. So what I'm going to need to do for this is just to kind of like narrow it down and say, okay, what did the palm branch mean in this moment? And at this moment in time, it seems like the palm branch, as it was being waved by the people of Jerusalem, was kind of like this national symbol of excitement, almost like waving a flag. And there had been some episodes in recent history right before Jesus where the palm branches were used to celebrate a great victory of the nation and to welcome a great king or leader after that. So the waving of the palm branches, it fits in with this kingly welcome. Even what they say, too. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Do you guys know where that's from? It's right out of his psalm. They're quoting Psalm 118, the psalm that actually has a long history of usage too, but in Jesus' day had been one that had become a psalm with great kingly overtones. And so when the people quote Psalm 118, they're quoting something that's meant to acknowledge a king is in their midst. So you've got the word king in the verse, you've got the palm branches, you've got the quote, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. All these have this sort of kingly welcome to them. How about Hosanna? That's the one piece of this verse that we didn't talk about with that, right? Does it also communicate this sort of kingly welcome? Kind of. It's from Psalm 118 as well, actually. It's the verse right before, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's Psalm 118, 25, where we take Hosanna from. But it really sticks out because Hosanna is not super celebratory in that psalm. In fact, here's what it means. It means help. Or more specifically, it means help, please. Huh. That might be a little surprising, huh? In fact, Psalm 118, 25, here's how we translate that in English. The English Standard Version, I think I've got it on the overlay here. It says, save us, O Lord, we pray. That's what's trying to be communicated by the word Hosanna. The Hebrew verb, I'm not going to try to pronounce it because it includes this consonant in Hebrew, ayin, which is notoriously hard to pronounce. But take my word for it. The Hebrew verb means to save, to deliver, to help. And then the suffix on the end, the ana part, ana, it's a suffix of desperation. Please, we beg you, we pray. So what happens when we put that together? Help, please. Deliver us, we pray. The origin of the word Hosanna and its historical meaning is one that is a cry for deliverance. And what that means is that this day on Palm Sunday, as Jesus is welcomed with the palm branches, as they give these kingly blessings, what we also hear is a cry for help. Hosanna, deliver us, we pray. I think the reason I'm really wanting to get you guys to see this is because that definition of Hosanna, save us, O Lord, we pray, sounds an awful lot like my prayers these last few weeks. I find myself praying a lot of things in all the stress and chaos of the virus. But maybe the thing that keeps coming up in my prayers, no matter what I'm praying about, is this simple plea. Lord, save us. Please save us. Little did I know that I was actually saying much of the same thing that the people that were waving their palm branches, that were welcoming King Jesus on Palm Sunday, I was saying the same thing that they were saying. Hosanna, save us, Lord, we pray. It's kind of odd and maybe a little unexpected. It seems from this that there is a close relationship in acknowledging Jesus as King, but also appealing to Jesus to help us as King. And if you think about it for a second, that kind of makes sense. It kind of fits. Because if Jesus is revealed to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then that means he is the only one who can save me. If Jesus is truly the King of Israel, it means that as he enters in on Palm Sunday, he's the only one that can save these people, that can deliver them, that can respond to their hosannas. So they see him as king. They say, this is the guy that can save us. Of course, his deliverance and saving was maybe a bit different than they expected. That's why many of these same people would turn on him later in the week, because he wasn't that military salvation or worldly salvation that they wanted. But we know, and his earliest disciples knew, that his salvation as King Jesus was way more than they could have ever hoped for. And how about us now? Here we are in that same position on Palm Sunday, seeing King Jesus, realizing that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that he is the only one that can save us now. He is the only one with the power to deliver us now. And so as we acknowledge him as king, as we celebrate him as king, that is closely tied together with us saying, Jesus, you are king over all. Everything is in obedience to you. Deliver us, we pray. Hosanna, in other words. Now, if there was anyone watching the stream today that happened to be an expert on ancient languages, you never know, could be. If that person was out there watching, they would be very frustrated with me right now. And they'd be saying, Josh, come on, your definition of Hosanna there is way too simple. And it's true, they're right. It is a little simple at this point. And here's the reason why. Because words change over time. What I've given you so far is like the historical origin for the word Hosanna. But by the time we get to Jesus's day and these people that are welcoming into Jerusalem, the word Hosanna has evolved a little bit through usage and through different cultures and different applications of the word. This actually happens all the time in any language. Take the English word awful. So if you trace the word awful back to its old English origins, it is exactly what it sounds like. It is something that is full of awe. What is awe? It's like majesty, glory, splendor. So something that was awful was something that would bring you to your knees. You were so overwhelmed by the glory you were seeing. Okay, well, with that definition, it sounds like, you know, well, let's do a hypothetical. If I ever got married one day and I told my wife that she was awful, would that go over well? Probably not. Dan is shaking his head no right now. And I could explain till I was blue in the face that, oh, honey, it's, you know, the origins of this word, or you can see it even in its root, awful, awe, meaning, it wouldn't matter because that's not what the word means today. Words change over time, and it's more important to pinpoint how they're used in the moment rather than the origin of it. So the same thing is going on with Hosanna. Over time, it takes on more meaning. Now, notice I didn't say new meaning or a different meaning. It takes on additional meaning. It still retains that core sense of a cry for deliverance or help or salvation. If it didn't, then I would have just wasted the last 15 minutes talking about that because it'd be irrelevant. No, it does keep that sense. That is still the foundation of what it means, a cry for help. But now, a new element has developed. A shout for joy and a cry of praise. When the people that day on Palm Sunday yelled out Hosanna, they were not just saying, help us, Lord, we pray. They were also joyfully praising the King. That's a development of this word that wasn't present in Psalm 118, but here it is on Palm Sunday. And I want to ask y'all, this is weird asking questions to a camera because you can't talk back to me. Maybe you could on the stream chat. But why do you think it developed in that way? That this word that meant a cry for help would evolve to also take on this meaning of a shout for joy? Why? I have a theory. Here's my theory. I think that it developed this way because the people that were using the word Hosanna and crying out for help, they began to realize over time that the Lord always answered that cry. They realized that the God they were appealing to always came through for them. Sometimes, even without them crying out for help. So Psalm 118 actually is a great example of this. Like we said, it's where the word Hosanna comes from, or at least the form of it that we have in this passage. And in Psalm 118, you've got, save us, O Lord, we pray, Hosanna. And then right after that, the very next verse is, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What does that mean? It means that God answered that prayer immediately. Almost before the psalmist could get it out of his mouth, the Lord was providing deliverance. He's saying, save us, O Lord, we pray. Oh, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You've sent deliverance. And I think that the people of Israel had that experience over and over and over again, of seeing their cries for help being responded to by their God abundantly and in over-the-top ways. And when you are praying to a God like that, when you're crying out for help to that kind of God, no wonder that that cry for help begins to morph into joyful praise. It begins to morph into celebrating God's provision even as you're asking for it, because you know He's the kind of God who provides. When Hosanna is used here, it is somehow, some way, simultaneously a cry for help and a praise that the help has been given. God, save us. Lord, you have consistently saved us. And on this day, on Palm Sunday, it's the people of Israel saying, Jesus, King Jesus, deliver us, we pray. But at the same time, they're saying, Jesus, King Jesus, you are our deliverance. And your presence here in this moment is showing us that our cries have been answered. Hosanna. Help and praise at the same time. So let's review. That's a lot like what we've been praying recently. And whether we realize it or not, like, our experience in this time of coronavirus is kind of mimicking what the people of God said on Palm Sunday. Kind of. Because as we just noted, there's more to that word than just a cry for help. There's also the praise element. There's also the Jesus, you are our salvation element. And even though many of us can resonate with the cry for help part of Hosanna in these last few weeks, I'm not as convinced that all of us can resonate with that joyful praise part of Hosanna. And that's the challenge of Hosanna, the challenge of the nuanced understanding of this word. And I hope in this sermon there's been a lot of things coming at you. I hope it's been informative, that you understand this passage better. I hope it's been encouraging and comforting. I hope that you've gotten to see King Jesus high and lifted up as we want to do on Palm Sunday. But now, as I'm finishing, I'm hoping it does one more thing, that it challenges you. It challenges me. It challenges us to see King Jesus as the one who has consistently and faithfully answered our prayers and provided for His people, even times of great need. And as we begin to see that, that it would transform our cries for help and deliverance into hosannas, meaning cries for deliverance, which at the same time are intertwined with joyful shouts of praise to our God for who He is, what He's done, and what we are confident He will do. And listen, I'm not saying that, I hope what you're realizing is, I'm not saying, oh, let's segment our prayers into this part is asking for help and this part is praising God. No, it's not compartmentalized. The crazy thing about Hosanna is those things are happening simultaneously. They're like two sides of the same coin. So that my prayers, crying for help, are weaving in and out of joyful praise seamlessly without needing to be compartmentalized, but simply out of the experience of knowing God and knowing the Son, Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so our challenge is, we cry Hosanna in our prayers. We cry Hosanna in our speech to each other and in our thoughts, but not just a simple one-dimensional Hosanna, that full picture of the prayer and the praise intertwined together. That's our challenge for Palm Sunday today. Let me pray for us, and then we will finish off our time together, singing one more song. Hey, huge thanks to our musicians that are doing so much to make our time so special on Sundays. And as you've heard, not only is it Kevin leading, but some of our musicians that are part of the team, like Jillian Eisenbarth this week, and Hannah Duran, and last week Madison Wyan, that are recording on their own and putting those things together for our stream. Super thankful for them. Thanks, guys. Let me pray for us. Lord, help us to see King Jesus in all his glory, majesty, and splendor. Splendor. And Lord God, as we do it, I pray that you would cause it to have hosannas well up in our hearts and in our minds. Lord God, we are in a vulnerable place right now. We are in a place where we don't know what will happen next, but all we know is that Jesus is still seated on the throne. And it's going to be okay. Give us confidence in that, even through our hosannas. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.